At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello everybody, good morning and welcome to the United Stand. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United transfer news this Wednesday morning, the 11th of June. Lots to get into. I suppose the big question is, what's going on? We've got talk of strike action by Gyökeres for Sporting. What does that mean for a transfer? How messy could this get? Also, Victor Osimhen has said that his dream move is the Premier League. Does that open up a quicker deal for Manchester United? Could we see a twist there? Also, what's going on with Mbeumo? I think people are quite right. We've sort of been distracted by that deal, by other things. What's actually happening with that? How quickly could that happen? Also, we've got the latest on a goalkeeper situation. Antony, Paul Scholes has said Man United should go out and buy this England player. Do you agree with that? I'll tell you who that player is in a minute. It's not just somebody made up. And a few other bits to get into, as well as the normal interaction and debate from you lot as well. So hope you're doing very well this morning. Fatigue from the transfer window. I was reading the chat before. Some people saying I'm getting a bit fatigued by it. It's the 11th of June. Yeah, get to bed early, go for a run and sharpen your mind. This is going to be a marathon, not a sprint. But I tell you what could well be a marathon is this Gyökeres development that we're getting overnight. So Portuguese reports, I read this on at UTD exclusive via Record in Portugal. Gyökeres has told Sporting he will never play for them again. The player is ready to go on strike and will not return for pre-season. The relationship between the club and player is broken. United, Arsenal, Juventus remain interested. This is not good, actually. You know, this is not good. He's definitely... I mean, it's such a shame. It's such a shame because Sporting, and I hope, I really do hope that this is not the case, because I think that when you look at it, we want a smooth transfer window, and a smooth transfer window will still take time. We have a good relationship with Sporting. Sporting is a fantastic club, and I think it's such a shame when, I mean, look, it's not new. But the problem for us, let me just say that straight away, the problem that we have is that good relationship with Sporting. Amorim and Gyökeres have a good relationship. Get the money, do the deal. Easy work. But this just complicates it. And I think it's such a shame because I've known about this gentleman agreement for a long time. You've known about it. Basically, he's got a release clause of about 80 million. But there's always been this gentleman agreement that he can go for 55, 62 million euros. Fabrizio's spoken about it. Ben Jacobs spoken about it. Everybody's spoken about it. So it's been well known for a long, long time. And I get the sense that Sporting are now saying they want 80 million because there's a few clubs that want him, or because he's had a good season. They've got every right to do that because he's under contract, but it just goes against, like, it's just not the way to behave. Don't shake on a gentleman's agreement and then change your mind. I mean, that's the whole point of a gentleman's agreement. It's like it's meant to be binding, and it will sour the relationship. And you look at what he's done at Sporting in the last couple of years, and you look at the success that Sporting have had over the last couple of years. And as a fan of Sporting, you're going to be there going, where are my loyalties here then? Because they have to be with the club, but have my club behave badly? And what about the last 2 years? And Gyökeres has been such a good player for us. It's just a bad way for this to happen. And I just hope that they can get in a room and resolve this for Manchester United's sake. But no, I think for their sake as well, because I saw some people this morning saying, well, this helps Man United. It means a deal will definitely get done. I don't think it does help Manchester United. I think this is probably why, another reason why there's a bit of a delay, because how do you resolve this issue if Sporting are saying we want 80 million and Gyökeres is saying you said 60, and then it's like just a complete and utter fallout? And if he doesn't go back for pre-season, you know, that's what worries me. He's going to refuse to go back for pre-season, because if you've got two stubborn parties, one of them's not going to go, oh, just go for 60. It needs resolving. We need Jorge Mendes here. We need somebody who has the power to broker deals, especially with Portuguese experience. Somebody needs to come in and broker this, because Man United can't do it. I think Jorge Mendes has got to be the guy, because it won't get resolved quickly. It's not like, my concern is now that this won't happen at the end of June. It won't happen in the middle of July. It will happen in bloody late August when Sporting realise they've got to do something. And that's no good for us. All right, I might get him a little bit cheaper, but we need him for pre-season. He needs a pre-season. We also another interesting point is as well, we also need to know if we're bloody going to get him. What if we like wait until the end of August and then he signs for Arsenal or someone like that, and then you've got nothing? So from United's point of view, we need this to get resolved. And it clearly is an issue between Sporting and Gyökeres, but it's one that's going to impact us. So I'm watching this with big interest now, because we can't do a deal while they've fallen out, because they don't want to let him go for what they'd agreed. So, and no one wants to pay what Sporting wants. So, yeah, I mean, I watch it with interest now, because it's definitely game over between Gyökeres and Sporting, and he definitely wants out, but they need to resolve that situation very quickly. Player going on strike is a bad sign, says Kai Anthony / Sanchez. Look, he's got every right to go on strike if they've gone against him, but it doesn't help our situation, no. Do you think we'll end up getting Gyökeres, Mark, says Daniel? As I said on Sunday, from what I'd seen, I'd be very shocked if we don't get him. But this is a development I wasn't aware of. This is a conflict now that's got nothing to do with us. My big issue was whether United were going to raise the funds to do it. You've now got a situation between Gyökeres and Sporting that we can't control. Thank you, Daniel. Anyway, disgusting by Sporting after all he's done for them, says Dizzy. And look, I think Sporting need to, you know, do some sort of PR here, because I've spoke to a couple of Sporting fans. They're not particularly happy about it. And their big concern is that you're just going to lose the trust of other players who see Gyökeres get treated like that by the club. Manscaped saved my date yesterday. I cut the grass, says MUFC. And Patrick, this sounds promising. Patrick Lynch, thank you very much for your super chat. He says, I don't know if this helps United, Gyökeres or Amrim. People would talk about bad attitudes and how Amrim dealt Rashford and Garnacho. We already had Ten Hag and claims of favouritism. I don't think this will help Amrim's perception, says Patrick Lynch. Yeah, well, let's just wait and see what happens with that one. Interestingly, on the striker front, there is potentially another option. I would stick with Gyökeres, of course. I've said that before. But you may have seen it yesterday. Reports coming out from Italy that Victor Osimhen actually dreams of a move to Premier League. Now, that, to me, means that could be Manchester United. I think he is a Manchester United fan. I'm sure I read that before. But apparently he dreams of a move to the Premier League. So Osimhen at the moment is still very much on the table. I think the big problem you've got with Osimhen is that you've got to deal with Napoli. He has a release clause of £62 million. It's a lot of money. The problem with the Osimhen deal, and we all know it, it's the financial package. It's a lot of money, and it's put a lot of Premier League clubs off, because you've got to give Napoli £62 million, and then you've got to give Osimhen probably, I don't know, what would Osimhen want? £300 grand a week? So it's a very, very big financial commitment. Napoli are notoriously difficult to deal with. It's not like you'd do a deal for £62 million in installments. They probably want it up front. And if you want to pay in installments, they probably want 65, 70. So it's a very, very big deal. But the flip side of that is he's a very, very good striker. I mean, I tweeted it earlier. I've never seen a player more suitable for Chelsea that Chelsea ignore. I think Osimhen and Chelsea would go hand in hand perfectly. But I don't think Man United are looking at Victor Osimhen. I don't. I really don't. I think that the finances of that will not be easy to do. And people say, well, Gyökeres is going to cost the same. I don't feel it is. I don't think that Gyökeres is going to cost the same. I think Sporting are more open to add-ons and installments than Napoli probably would be. And also, I think the wage demands of Gyökeres are going to be lower than that of Osimhen, who also has an agent, etc. So I think that, look, it's a consideration, and I think you've got to, as I said a couple of days ago, you've got to put yourself in that situation and at least have a conversation. If he wants to play in the Premier League and he wants to play for Manchester United, prove it. Prove it like Mbeumo is. Prove it like Cunha has. But I feel like with Osimhen, Man United have never really been in for him. There's a lot of stories about Man United, but I don't feel like we're in for him. But he is there. He is there. Personally, I think this Gyökeres situation needs to be resolved. You talked how goalkeeper is important. What do you think of Lunin or Trubin? I know this is expensive option, but both young, says Taras. I think the word expensive and goalkeeper is a no-goer at the moment. I mean, funnily enough, because it is a news show, ESPN this morning reporting that Donnarumma wants to stay at PSG. Surprise, surprise. You know, I think it's important to always go back to these stories because at the weekend we had Donnarumma, Manchester United, Manchester City, blah, blah, blah. What did we say at the time? Very welcome to come to Manchester United. Very, very good goalkeeper. But guarantee this is one of the strands of transfers, one of the five strands of transfers, where in this occasion, it's definitely using Manchester United to get a new contract. And that is clearly what's happening there. I mean, look, I never really felt that Donnarumma was an option. He's too high profile, too expensive, and clearly just after a better contract at PSG. If this continues, Mark, would you go for Mateta, says Dale? No. I think that this position is so important that you cannot shift your focus. We need Gyökeres. If we can't get Gyökeres, you need Osimhen. Because if you go beyond that, you're down to plan D. I mean, we know Liam Delap was somewhere in plan A, B or C, wasn't he? So if you don't get Gyökeres and you don't get Osimhen and you didn't get Delap, you can't be going down to plan D for such an important player. You just can't do that. Good questions. Keep them coming in. FIFA says, what's going on with Mbeumo? This is one of the things I wanted to talk about the most this morning because obviously we're a community as well as the morning show being a news show. I think it's really important just to have a bit of a catch up on what's going on with Mbeumo for a minute. And then we'll get onto some other bits. You know what? I think with Mbeumo, as I said, the Osimhen, the Gyökeres stories, of course, have taken over there. He's not a Man United player. He's not signed for Man United. We haven't had Here We Go. You look at what Liverpool just did last night with Wirtz. 150 million euro package for Wirtz. They are miles ahead of us and they've got Frimpong, Wirtz, Kerkez and they're going for another forward. So we can all get excited about Cunha and we can all get excited about Mbeumo, but bloody hell, our biggest rival are way better than us and they're having a way better transfer window than us. So there is levels to this game and at the moment we have only signed Cunha. We have not signed Mbeumo. So where are we at with this? Patience. They're negotiating with Brentford and effectively United will not be held to ransom. So we've got a figure in mind and we're not really going to budge on it. So it's an interesting one. It reminds me a little bit, we're not there yet, but it reminds me a little bit of the Leicester situation with Harry Maguire, where we got locked into it. We won't be taken for a ride. We negotiated for about 6 weeks and then still paid £80 million. I don't think we're in a position really where we can negotiate prices down for good players that other people will pay good prices for. My issue with Mbeumo is you either pay what Brentford want or you waste your time. Because Mbeumo wanting to come to Manchester United is great and he's a good player. But you know as well as I do that Newcastle have got the money to give Brentford what they want. So we can't negotiate a cheaper price just because the player wants to come to us. Brentford have got every right to sit there and go, we want 60 million. Newcastle would have given us 60 million. Give us 60 million or you're not having him. And United's card is, well, he wants to come to us. Fine. If that's the case, let's see what happens in the last week of August. Because what I'm trying to say is I don't think for one minute Mbeumo's not going to be a Man United player. But let's not forget, Brentford can control when this deal happens. Just because Mbeumo wants us doesn't mean we hold all the cards. They could easily go, fine, okay. If you're not going to give us what we want, transfer window closes on August the 31st. We're under no obligation to do this deal in the middle of June. We could do it in the middle of July. Maybe we'll do it early August. Maybe we will do it first week of July and it'll help us get some players in. Or actually, maybe we don't need to do that. Maybe our targets aren't the same as you. Maybe we've got the money we need to get our players. maybe we'll speak to you in August. So we've got to be very, very careful about this because we have to please Brentford. So I think with Mbeumo, could be today, here we go. Could be next month, here we go. My personal feeling is we will get there, but and I think we will realise that we're not in a position to play hardball. And Brentford will know we need this deal done. When we're not in a strong position, is what I'm trying to say. We've had a terrible season. Everybody knows that Amrim's pre-season is really important. It's really hard for us to barter good, you know, really good deals in a situation when you're as desperate as we are. But we also have to try and get the best price because we don't have a load of money. So it's a balancing act for Manchester United. And I think we are trying to negotiate the best price, which is the right thing to do. But I think it will become a point where we realise we've actually got to move on this. So could be 2 weeks, could be today. But that's what's happening with Mbeumo. It really is this negotiation that Brentford want more money than we want to pay. If we weren't to get Osimhen or Gyökeres, should we wait till January, says Hasnan? I mean, mate, I think it's a fair question, but I also think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I saw somebody on the chat last night saying about can't wait to see Xerxes dropping in between Cunha and Mbeumo, and it made me scared. It made me scared because I was like, if we go into next season with Rasmus and Xerxes as our strikers, don't come moaning when we don't finish in the top eight. I think this is a... And that's no slight on Rasmus or Xerxes, but we've seen that what happens there. This is priority number one position for some of us. We cannot not get a striker this summer and then think we're going to have a progressive season next season. We absolutely have to go and get a striker of quality this summer. And Kosi says, I had a scary dream and Arna costing us top four. Owen says, I think Gyökeres will help the younger players like Obi. Guidance is important. Good point. Hearing all this news makes me really excited and I think Man United will win the league, says Amy. Thank you very much for that. Daniel says, do you actually think the Mbeumo signing will go through? Starting to get worried since the first bid was rejected. No, I think it will. Go through. Yeah, I think it will go through. Gaz says Brentford could also be working on a replacement before we sell them, which actually would be very intelligent as well, Gaz. I mean, just talk about Onana there and talking about Onana and talking about the Wirtz deal, which, look, I've got to be honest, Liverpool are our biggest rival. They're certainly my biggest rival. They're the club that, you know, you look at and want to compete with. They've just won the Premier League 20 times. They've just broken the British transfer record. And, you know, in rivalry, it would be wrong, I think, if you didn't look at that and be a bit jealous. They're just a better run football club than us. And, you know, I was at Anfield this time last year, actually. And that's an exercise in how to look after your heritage. I mean, they just never let Anfield get knocked down anyway. By American owners so they can build a super stadium where Beyonce can come and play every year. They just wouldn't let it happen. Unfortunately, we are letting it happen. But they're just a better club than us at the moment. And they, you know, that's just the bottom line. We have to try and aspire to be that. It's very difficult to see how that can happen. But what I will say about the Wirtz deal is that is now with Frimpong, 150 million euros that Leverkusen have received from Liverpool when you add on Frimpong as well. Who is the manager of Leverkusen? Erik ten Hag. Erik ten Hag has got £150 million in his pocket to spend on transfers. If he's got anything good about him, he will buy Antony and Onana for 100 million. You know, he can put this right. If he really thinks they're worth what he paid for them, buy them from Manchester United now. You know, you've got the money. Put it right. You've got a chance to put it right. The money's in your pocket. An honouring goal. Antony on the wing. Let's move. 100 million. 100 million and all is forgiven. Yeah. There's no excuses. He's got the money. Definitely got the money. But you know what? It's not going to happen because he's already bought a goalkeeper. He knew he had 100 million in his pocket. And guess what? Didn't ring up Onana. Flecking from Brentford. Scammed. You know what? I'm getting angry. You know what? 2 years ago, 2 years ago, we had one of the best goalkeepers in the world. He'd just won the Golden Glove. He was a legend of the dressing room. He was a legend of the club. He was in his prime. We let him go for nothing to spend £50 million on Onana, all because Ten Hag wanted it to happen. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievably stupid thing to do. And I backed Ten Hag, but I thought that was stupid. A lot of people in the dressing room thought it was stupid. He let De Gea go for nothing to spend £50 million on Onana. 2 years later, even the prat who did it accepts he was a prat because he's got £100 million in his skyrocket and he goes and buys Flecken from Brentford when Onana's available. That just goes to show you what Ten Hag thinks of Onana. This is the guy that actually binned De Gea off for free to spend £50 million on Onana. 2 years later, he needs a goalkeeper with £100 million in his pocket. Oh, no, thank you. It just says everything about how shite that deal was, that the guy who masterminded it at his new club with money in his pocket hasn't gone anywhere near him when he's available for 25 million. I mean, Onana's available for 25 million and Ten Hag has still gone, Flecken, yeah? Unbelievable. But that just shows you, I always said that has got to be one of the worst bits. And we have got a considerable amount of worst deals ever at United. Bloody loads. But De Gea gone for free to spend £50 million on Onana has got to be one of the worst deals we've ever done. And if you don't agree with that, even Ten Hag agrees and it was his idea. Won't go anywhere near it. Won't go anywhere near Onana when he could have took him with him to Leverkusen. Apparently he is interested in Anthony, I'll give him that. But I saw some story actually about Anthony the other day. I think it was from, is it Ten Hag's agent or something, saying that Ten Hag didn't want to spend £80 million on Anthony? Well, we did. Apparently Inter valued Onana at £7 million, says Madaf. Do you think Glinios getting early credit in the transfer market, says Manoj? I don't know what that means. Any update around goalkeeper like Chevalier? We have been linked to him, Matt, but goalkeepers... Look, in relation to the goalkeeper, we can talk about it every show, every day, and nothing will change. I think the vast majority of us want a new goalkeeper at Manchester United. Absolutely need it. Desperately has to happen. Get it done. But what did I just tell you there? The guy that could save, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Help us, Obi-Wan Kenobi, your only hope. Help us, Obi Ten Hag, you're our only hope. No, I'm going to get Flecken. I'm going to leave you to it. I'll leave you to it with Onana. So, Flecken hell. You're right, Sandy. That's the problem we've got with Onana. Ten Hag did this ridiculous deal that everybody thinks is stupid. And the only person who could save us from it is the person who did it, who needs a goalkeeper, and he goes and buys Flecken. So if the guy who bought Onana doesn't want Onana, who else is going to want him? And that's what I mean. We need a goalkeeper. Amrin wants a goalkeeper. Wilcox backs him on that. But they've got this huge problem of Onana. And I don't know what Onana's wage is, actually. I suppose that has to be brought in as well. But he's on 120 grand a week. Onana's current book value is approximately 26.3 million. This is the remaining cost of his transfer from Inter, which is amortized over the length of his 5-year contract. To avoid a loss on FFP, Manchester United would need to sell him for at least this amount. So we need 26 million to level off, and he's on 120k a week. Forget about it. You know, who's going to do that? Ten Hag won't bloody do it. I mean, I'm sure somebody said to Erik ten Hag, 120 grand a week, 26 million to Man United, you've got Onana. Onana? Never heard of him. You bought him. You got rid of De Gea. I'm bought Flecken now. So this is the problem we've got with Onana, is you've got to... Very. And 120 grand a week's a lot for a goalkeeper. 120 grand a week for a goalkeeper is probably the same as about 200 grand a week for a player. And people will say, well, it's not. It's the same. No, goalkeepers tend to be... I mean, look, I'll prove it to you. Best paid goalkeepers in the world. Let's do Prem. Best played goalkeepers in the Prem. So you've got Leno, 90 grand a week. Edison, 100 grand a week. Martinez at Villa, 120k a week. Alisson, 150 grand a week. So it's 120 grand a week is a lot of money for a goalkeeper. Look, Nick Pope at Newcastle is apparently on 60. So 120 grand a week is a lot for a goalkeeper. I think Saudi's the only option for Onana, and there doesn't seem to be abundance of interest. But having said that, the Saudi league is not open at the moment. The Saudi league doesn't start their season till August. So their transfer window is the same as us. Just because Al Hilal are playing in the Club World Cup doesn't mean every other club has got to do transfer window at the moment. But yeah, the problem with Onana is moving him on. 120 grand a week, book value of 26 million. Somebody just said, what's Rasmus' book value? Let me just double check this. So Rasmus' book value for FFP is 38.4 million at the moment. So if United were to sell for a price above that, it would be considered profit. Anything below that would be a loss. Apparently we paid about £64 million for him. So yeah, I mean, you would basically need 40 million for Rasmus to break even. I can't see us achieving that either. I can't see anybody giving us 40 million for Rasmus. I just don't see it. But look, I think Onana is definitely more of a problem. Let me just catch up on some of your comments. Brilliant show this morning, by the way. Some interesting stories. I mean, that Sporting Gyökeres one is a concern. I think that needs to get resolved. It never goes well. In my experience, when you've got a club and a player that are on strike, it tends to be a deal that then happens at the end of the window because stubborn people fall out. It's not, you want amicable, you want thank you very much, you want thanks for everything you've done, and we're working with the club that you want. This is not good for the Gyökeres deal if they've fallen out. Tom Smith says, like Ajax, Ten Hag has little input on transfers at Bayern, so I doubt he could rescue us even if he wanted to, says Tom. What's your backup plan if plan A doesn't work, says Red Devil Diaries. I'm not the CEO, mate, so it doesn't matter. I don't even know what Man United's plan A is. I think Cunha's a plan A signing. I think Mbeumo's a plan A signing. But yeah, I don't know. You know, Dorgu was plan B behind Mendes, wasn't he? Do you think United are trying to use Champions League add-ons when they negotiate, like give Brentford 10 million if we qualify for the Champions League, says Slazy? Probably. They all add up, though, don't they? I mean, remember, we've got to pay £90 million this summer on transfers from other summers. So remember, this always adds up. Azir says, I'm a little concerned with outgoings. Sancho will likely run his contract down and not convinced anyone comes in for Rashford on his wage demands. I said it to you a couple of days ago against Sancho. I'll just repeat it very quickly with bullet points. Jadon Sancho's not going to go anywhere for a transfer fee. We will cover his wages off this final year, probably on Dortmund, and then he'll be a free agent. The minute he didn't go to Chelsea, it became abundantly clear that he was about the money. Jesse J, FC, because he was offered a decent wage at Chelsea and a contract, and he said no. Why would you say no to that? Like Chelsea, London, good club, Champions League football, will be in the top six in the Premier League, competing, you know, why would you say no to that? It's financial. He wants to run his contract down so in a year's time he can earn millions of pounds as a free agent and get a bigger wage. And he knows for the next year he can earn 300k a week at United. So obviously he won't play for United, but we'll have to supplement his wages. He isn't going to say no to Chelsea to come back and then get a transfer fee for United somewhere else. So he's definitely running his contract down. Anybody who thinks we're getting a transfer fee is crazy. If he wanted to move somewhere, he'd have gone to Chelsea. No one else as good as Chelsea are going to come in for him, give him 300 grand a week and then give us 15 million pounds. He's going on loan somewhere. So you're right. We're definitely not getting a fee for him. We will get a fee for Garnacho. Let me just double check Anthony's book value because I think this is an interesting one. I've got a feeling it's 30 million. Yeah, I think Anthony's is around 30 million. So you're probably going to break even on Anthony, but get 200 grand a week back in wages. So a little bit of money there. Garnacho would bring some money in. Rashford's got to go. We just don't know where he's going to go, do we? Would you rather keep Xerxes or Rasmus? Says Toby. I feel Xerxes is a lot more technical and versatile and can play as 10 as well as a 9, says Toby. I think we need two strikers, though. If I was getting rid of Rasmus, I'd want another striker to come in as well as another striker. So I don't feel Xerxes a striker. I don't think he plays like a striker in the box. I think you need two strikers. So that's my only concern. If Rasmus goes, I want another striker. Is it a concern that our academy favours attacking players like Obi, who have good numbers but are poor technically, and other future Rashford Ganaan? I don't know what that's all about, Kai. I mean, I've read it, but come on. Why is Obi technically bad? And he's only 17. YG says, great job as always. Someone I think we're completely overlooking is João Pedro at Brighton. Yeah, but this is a great point by YG, because I didn't watch England's laughable performance against Senegal last night. Completely deserved. I watched the last 15 minutes and Senegal were really good. But, you know, no way was I doing a watch along for that shite. But it's interesting because Paul Scholes put out an Instagram post about Eze saying, just sign him. And I thought, you know what? It's a little bit like what you're saying, YG, about João Pedro. And that's fine. Absolutely fine. You know, I could sit and watch a game of football, you know, like the Portugal game against Spain, and I could look at somebody like, I don't know, Leao, and say, sign him. Perfect, actually. I could Instagram that and say, sign him. There's nothing wrong with you saying that, YG, or me, or Scholesy, but I sense in our community it can be quite frustrating because there's just no relevancy, or more importantly, there's no realism to that. Why would you sign João Pedro when you're signing Cunha and Mbeumo? Why would you sign Rafael Leao when we don't play with wingers anymore? Why would you sign Eze when you've signed Cunha and Mbeumo? And this is what I mean. I think sometimes you get these opinions from ex-players and they've got every right to do them. I'm not knocking them, but they're not based on reality. You know, if Paul Scholes was in charge, who would you not... The question I would ask Scholes is, so who are you not signing to sign Eze? Because I like the signing of Eze, but you can't sign Eze, Cunha and Mbeumo. We can't afford 60 million three times for three number 10s. So who would you go for? Cunha, Mbeumo, Eze. Which one are you not going to go for? That would be my question. Because we can't... You can't sign Eze after you've signed Cunha and Mbeumo. It just doesn't work. We're not that club. We can't have three number 10s coming in who are £60 million. So, yeah, we're not signing Eze, basically. But I think what we have to do is focus hard in on what we're doing. And we've spoken about Mbeumo, and obviously Cunha's coming in. He scored for Brazil last night. And we've got to get the striker sorted, you know? Ajax and Manchester United are different clubs. Ten Hag should never have been appointed. Just my opinion, says Constantine. Apparently, I've done that from Madaf as well. Eric Ten Hag won't buy United players because he got competitive owners and director of football. Also, if we keep buying good players, how many years before we become competitive, says Aki. So Marcus Rashford down the middle next season, says James. The relationship is broken. Czech record Portugal, says Padinha. We literally spoke about this in the first 10 minutes, mate. So I presume you're a little bit late. We have spoken about that in relation to Jokeres. Rashford down the middle next season. What, for Manchester United? James, honestly, I wouldn't even say I'd be stunned. I'd think I was dreaming. If I saw Marcus Rashford playing for Manchester United set next season, it can't work. Just, I don't know whether anybody actually thinks that could happen, but it can't work because the first place to start, and this is where it ends. I mean, look, if we're being honest, there'd be people in the fan base that don't want him anywhere near the club anymore anyway. That, sadly, I think that there are people like that that have just fed up of him and want him to move on. Obviously, there's people in the fan base that would love him back, you know, I accept that. But the big issue here is we should never fall out about Rashford, actually, because that it can't work because Amorim has buried him publicly for a month in January, and Rashford went behind his back to do that interview. That was the end. Like, that's it. Rashford and his camp do not like managers that speak about Rashford publicly, as we saw with Ollie when he had to apologise for it. And Amorim does not like players who go behind his back. And that's not going to change. You've got to respect both sides. Amorim is notorious for when he's made his mind up with somebody, that's it. And Rashford and his team are notorious for protecting themselves. And that's fine. If they came back together, it would be like two toxic people in a relationship who've broken up, going for a drink and, oh, maybe we do like each other, and it'll be fine for a week and then it will all go wrong. On top of that, you've got a very attentive media. Very attentive media who will never let it rest. So there's just no way back. Whilst Amorim's the manager, there's no way back. So I wouldn't even think about it. You're right, though. If there was a place in the team for Rashford, it would have to be up front. I don't like Rashford as a striker. I think Villa made a mistake putting him up front. I think he was better off the wing. I think he's a left winger, and we don't have a place for that. Rashford's big priority is trying to find a move, and that's not easy. That's not easy at all if Barcelona don't want him. Rugby says, what would your dream transfer be, and why would those players work for Manchester United? Oh God, I feel like I'm getting a spot under my neck. That's painful. My dream transfer window. Napoli, here we go. Kevin De Bruyne. Leroy Sané set to join Galatasaray as per Ben Jacobs. You know what? I wish I'd predicted that. That is such a Turkish signing, Leroy Sané, isn't it? It really is. Good signing as well. So, my dream transfer window, okay. Well, I want a goalkeeper, so I'll give you a goalkeeper. What goalkeeper do I like? I'm not really a goalkeeper type of guy. Let me just say Emi Martinez. I want a goalkeeper, so I'd do that. I want a midfielder. I think Adam Wharton would be perfect, really. Obviously, Cunha and Mbeumo, I'm very happy with. Gyökeres. They're my five priorities. They're my five dreams, if I'm being completely honest. I think that's where I would focus on. I would like a wing back, of course I would. Oh, Costa. I think I'd like Costa more than a Martinez, actually. Dan, you're right. I knew there was a goalkeeper out there that I preferred. I think Costa for me would be the goalkeeper that I would want, definitely. Yeah. To clarify, I was suggesting João Pedro as a striker if Gyökeres' option stalls. Premier League proven and only 23, says YG. I like Pedro at Brighton. I do. But apparently, I mean, Newcastle are interesting in one way. Taking Mbeumo from Newcastle is a real feather in our cap. But what I like about Newcastle is they'll just go again. And they're looking at Alanga now. Apparently, they're going to get James Trafford in goal. Some people have mentioned in this chat that maybe that's where we should go. They're looking at João Pedro now. I look at Newcastle next season and that's where I want to be. We can talk about Liverpool, forget it. Newcastle's where I want to be because you're going to have a top three of Arsenal, Liverpool and Man City again. And if you want top four, because top five next year is not guaranteed for English clubs. We've got too many clubs in England, in Europe next year. That could dilute our performance in the awarding of two spots. So it might be top four next year for the Champions League. It might not be top five. We need English clubs to do really well in Europe next year if we want it to be top five. So let's say Chelsea, Newcastle, Aston Villa, they're the sort of teams that we've got to compete with next year. I look at that Newcastle side, Isak, Gordon, Murphy, Harvey Barnes back up to Gordon, Alanga back up to Murphy or starts ahead of Murphy, and then Pedro back up to Isak. That's a good front six. It's going to be hard next season. That's why getting these players in are so important. Could you wish my girlfriend, Erin, a happy birthday? Love from Ireland, says Keen Maha. There you go. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, anybody whose birthday it is. 20,000 watching as well. Absolute legends. Thanks, everyone, this morning. Langa and Isak will have the Swedish connection, says Eat. Are Sweden going to be good in the World Cup? There are a lot of good players. Bergvall's Swedish, isn't he? You've got Isak, Jokeres, Alanga, Bergvall, and Lindelof. I get mixed up between Sweden and Norway. But they look like they've got some Kulusevski as well. Yeah, they're going to be average, Jack. This is the problem. You say they've got three or four good players, but then, you know, their midfield and defence is shit. Yeah. But look, going back to Jokeres, Fraz says, if we get Jokeres, do we sell Rasmus or loan him? I would keep him, mate. I really would. Andres says, Rashford isn't good enough to want to move to Barcelona. They would be crazy to sign him. He is more of an Everton player. Okay, Andres. Thank you for that. If we're struggling to negotiate with clubs like Brentford, we need more Plan A type players so we're not held hostage in the transfer market, says John. JJ says, do you think Jokeres falling out with Sporting will help us get him, or will it make things more difficult? Look, if you tuned in a little bit late, we started the show off talking about Jokeres. Portuguese reports this morning are saying that he's out when it comes to Sporting. He's not going back for pre-season. He's basically on strike. He's fuming with the club. They've fallen out. The relationship is broken. This explains a lot. This is a problem. Because you can be Man United, Juventus, Arsenal wanting to sign Jokeres, but if the player and the club have fallen out, you know, you try and arrange a party. Imagine your neighbours, John and Karen, right? You know, all year everyone's been talking about their 20th wedding anniversary and what a great party it's going to be in June. And then in May, John gets caught with his trousers down. I'm not going to say who it's with. Personally, I always thought he went that way, but you know. Anyway, Karen's like, that's it. I'm not having a party with him. And you lot are like going, oh, we've really been looking forward to this party. Can't you sort it out? She says, I can't get the vision of John. Literally, no. That party's not happening until those two people sort it out. And if they can't sort it out, the party's not going to happen. So Man United want this party. But Jokeres and Sporting are, they can't solve their differences at the moment. So the party won't happen. It's a worry. It's a worry. You know what? Who are you going to call? George Mendes. We need George Mendes to sort this out. 100%. He is the guy when it comes to certainly Portuguese-focused transfers. He helped us out with Yoro and Ugarte, and we need George Mendes to get involved in this because it needs a third party to say, oi, Karen, oi, John. I just realised I'm still focused. I want to solve that. I want to solve that, even though it's hypothetical. Oi, Jokeres, oi, Sporting, sort yourselves out. You've had a great relationship together. You've worked really, really well. Obviously, it's time to part ways. Remember the good times, shake hands on it, and do what's best for each other. Because I tell you what, this is silly. You had a gentleman's agreement, your wedding nuptials. You said, till death do us part. This is the death of the relationship. Let's move on. If Sporting have gone back on an agreement with Jokeres, they're bang out of order. Meet each other halfway. So it is a concern. I'm not going to mess about. It is a concern. It's easily solvable, but the longer they're not talking, this doesn't help a deal happen because you can't just go, he's not happy, we're going to get him, because Sporting go, here's a contract. this is the contract. So if you don't want to pay what we want, then you won't be getting in. And United or anybody else can't say, well, you said this. Where does it say it in the contract? And Gyökeres' contract goes for 3 more years, 2028. So without that, it becomes problematic. Brian B says, sorry, random idea, but ever thought of doing mini documentaries of United legends? Would be amazing for his younger fans to learn of United's history, says Brian B. Thank you. Not in a transfer window, because it's just that's all anyone wants to talk about. Maybe in the season. Who's on the bench if we sell Sancho, Rashford, Antony and Garnacho, says Rupee. Mate, come on. Calm your tits. What are you talking about the bench for? I mean, I could fill the bench easily straight away with all them lot gone. Because, let's be honest, only Garnacho was here between the end of the season anyway, since Christmas. Looking at it now, would you bring back Dean Henderson, says Liam? No. Dean Henderson's ball distribution is not very good. Like, he's a good shot stopper, but his ball distribution is not good, so he's not the solution. There's no point getting Dean Henderson back, who's a better shot stopper than Onana, but his distribution is not good. You've got to get the goalkeeper that you want. People weren't wrong 2 years ago when they said that we need a ball-playing goalkeeper. But fundamentally, they need to be a better shot stopper than... It's all right going, oh, let's get a better ball-playing goalkeeper than De Gea. But you've got to also do the fundamental and make sure that they're a better shot stopper as well. So you need a shot-stopping ball-playing goalkeeper in the modern game. That's what you need. Is Wharton a transfer that could be next summer since Casemiro be off the books? Like you've said before, might not fix all issues this summer, says Matt. Yeah, I mean, we might not solve the midfield this issue this summer. I don't see how we do. As I said to you last week, I was told that Casemiro or Mainoo have got to go if we're going to buy a midfielder because we need to clear a space. My nephew won man of the match, and the opposing manager saying his praise to his current manager. He's only 9. Can you give him a shout out? He loves football. I'm a long term viewer, says Dale. Shout out to Mason. Well done. Keep it up. Any news on Malacia, says Lee. The news on Malacia is irrelevant because we'll get next to nothing for him anyway. So, you know, his wage is low and his value is low. So I don't think it's... I think the reason people don't talk about Malacia is because even when he does go, it's not like it's not going to change the world, is it? So I think that's probably why people ain't really massively talking about it. Let me have a quick look. There's no other news. I can't see anything, which is good. Andres is frustrated with our overrated player. Surely Belieba is a better option than Water. I do like Belieba, Cabba, but getting him out of Brentford seems a season too soon as well. Why can't we sell Casemiro for 10 million to a club in the US? They will pay him the same wage usually. Can't someone call Beckham, says Tusha. Casemiro doesn't want to go. Casemiro, look, said the same about Jadon Sancho. It's more understandable with Casemiro because he's actually delivered in a Man United shirt. A lot of players these days, you've seen it with Trent, it's happening more and more. People see a contract with 2 years left on it and they're happy to just run it down. They're living their lives a year or two ahead. Normally, players are like, I want to go this summer. I want to go this summer, you know. Players are more than comfortable now going, in 12 months' time, I'm out of contract. I'll be able to make a shitload of money. I'll stay here for 12 months. Casemiro's definitely in that mindset of my next contract. I want to be free from a contract and I want to make good money because it will be my last one. So Casemiro, I'd be very surprised if he doesn't run his contract down. George Mendes, says Fletcher, needs to be the marriage counsellor between Sporting and Gyökeres. Yes. So look, I think with Gyökeres now, we need that to get resolved before anything else will happen. And also, I think we obviously need to get the Mbeumo deal resolved as well. Thanks, everybody, for watching today. Absolute legends. 8 o'clock show tonight is normal, and the 2 o'clock show. If anything happens, of course, we will go live as well. Really appreciate that. And have a good day, whatever you're doing. Speak to you in a little bit. Take care.